doing, Nick?
Yeah, man. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you. No complaints.
Good.
Weather is pretty atrocious here, but I'm sure it's been lovely with you.
It's actually been really nice here.
Is it? Oh, that's nice. I'm glad. Wouldn't want you getting wet out there in your little tighty whities.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Very nice.
We don't offer much, do we? We don't. Not the creme de la creme.
Apart from smashing it on Twitter once a week that we've got a new episode, but there's no other.
We have some top quality editing. I don't know who does
Well,
that, but yeah.
I tell you what, they're on point, whoever it is.
Oh, it is, yeah. The transitions are
Doodle-doodle.
outstanding. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Tell you what I've been doing recently is trying to taxonomize different ways in which we use language to the same effect. Now, if I say taxonomize, what comes to mind?
I mean tax.
Yeah, it's all to do with the tax code, mate. That's exactly what that is.
In context, I imagine what you're trying to say is sort of, I don't know, understand. I don't know.
To taxonomize something is to catalogue it.
Sure, that's boring as fuck, isn't it? Okay.
It's dull as shit, mate. Yeah. No, because I've been writing an essay on parody, and it's specifically parody in a specific play. In The Frogs by Aristophanes, which is an ancient Greek play, and
Nice.
in it there's the use of parodies is rife. There's a lot of parody. That's most of the comedy. And I've been thinking recently about how we use speech to achieve the same ends, but we do different things in it. So, for instance, the shock factor. You've heard someone talk about the shock factor when you hear
Endlessly.
speech. Yeah, right. So the shock factor, I mean, we use these kinds of terms that like the shock factor to describe a result. But obviously there are like 400, I mean that's just a random number, but you know, hundreds of ways of achieving that using similar kind of speech patterns. And the result is slightly different. So because there is the shock factor when it comes to speech because someone has just said something outrageous, like you know, if I started screaming racial slurs in Tesco's or
Which
something,
you
then,
often do, to be fair.
which I often do, yeah,
Yeah,
to be fair,
you like partaking, that's
that's
one of your
an
pastimes, isn't
average Friday night, to be honest. So,
it? Monday morning, can't
yeah,
get enough.
Monday morning, fucking hell. And then there's the shock factor where someone, you know, says something unexpected, which isn't offensive in any way, shape, or form. You know, like, oh yeah, she just had a baby, not knowing that.
See that a baby.
That person was even pregnant. Yeah,
Sure.
you didn't even know she was pregnant or something, like things like that. But also just the way in which we might say those things. So the shock factor for say someone says to you, "Oh yeah, she just had a baby," and you didn't know she was pregnant. Now you could say something like, "Oh yeah, she just had a baby." And that little sound at the end, right? That sound at the end could convey four or five different things. It could convey disapproval, contempt, confusion, realization, these things. And then you've got two shocks. The shock factor of, oh yeah, I didn't know she was having a baby. And the shock factor of, well, what does he mean by Now, that's not entirely shock factor, but it is in a broad sense of something you've heard which you've not expected to hear. So there's two things there that you've got to unpack. I don't know how much this interests you, but I study language a lot, and one of the things I'm constantly aware of is how we use intonation, emphasis, and apostrophe, which is where you say something, where you make a sound after saying something, to change the meaning of what's going on.
Sure.
Like, oh my, she's just had a baby. Or, oh my, she's just had a baby. Where you put the emphasis changes what you think is shocking.
Well, yeah,
Like,
it changes your
yeah,
perspective of the sentence, doesn't it?
if the emphasis was on the A, you the person might think that you were expecting her to have twins.
Sure, because she was
Things like
ginormous.
that. Yeah, because she was wham. Yeah, no way that was one child. That kind of thing. Anyway, that's what I've been thinking about this week. So that's my little segment on philosophy and just
Very nice.
insert that into people's minds. People, you've got
Pop
to
that
start
in.
thinking more about.
What they're fucking saying.
Yeah.
Think about it before it comes out of your head.
That would be a novel idea, wouldn't it? I'll tell you what, the amount of conversations I overhear in coffee shops and throughout just walking down the road where I think, did you actually think about that before you said that? Surely not. Surely you haven't thought, surely that hasn't gone through a thought process and you've still decided to say that.
It's more that they don't think about when they say it out loud that other people can hear them saying it. It's just them
Yeah, that
saying
is
it and going,
true.
ah, you know, like the amount of times that you hear, you know, like when you walk past someone and they're having a conversation and you just hear a small snippet out of context and you
Yeah.
think, what the are
Yeah.
they talking about? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What is that? Not that you ever want to know, because 9 out of 10, you don't want to go near the things. I mean,
The creatures.
look at it up and down and think, no, thanks.
Yeah, no,
Don't want
it.
to have a look at that. Yeah. Mess.
I do think that. I think that often.
You know them phones that you now that you can take a picture and then remove a bit of it? I would like that in my, like, if you can get contact lenses that just remove idiots, that'd be
Oh, fuck.
brilliant. Do you know what
If
I
you
mean, though?
do, that's that. No, I do. Yeah, like Google Glass settings.
Yeah. If it just
Yeah.
replaced it with a brick wall, it's more important for
Yeah.
them. But I mean,
Yeah, and you'd avoid them just the same.
yeah, they're more relevant because I can see them and I know what they're about.
Yeah.
Just a thought, Google, if you're ever listening.
That's it. Have you ever watched Black Mirror?
Yeah, man, I love Black Mirror.
Right. Do you know, I forget what the episode is called, but you know the episode where basically the climax is that these soldiers have had an implant in their brain that like changed certain types of refugees to look like aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Augmented
Right,
reality,
that.
isn't it?
Yeah, that one. With
Yeah,
the
that'd
black
be.
guy who then realizes.
I mean, yeah, that would be my ideal.
Have you seen much about Elon Musk's Neuralink? The idea of having the like a something in your brain to augment the reality that you want, that kind of thing.
I haven't, to be honest. That's quite interesting.
Well, I mean, he's done it tongue in cheek. Like, he doesn't actually want to produce this. He's doing it to draw attention to the fact that there's some scary tech out there. But an idea he had was, yeah, the Neuralink, which would allow people to communicate basically telepathically by an implant into their brain, etc., and also augment things about the world around them, like turn up the brightness or, you know, whatever it is that they want,
Yeah.
that kind of thing. Basically, just the next step in cybernetics.
It's what's going to happen, though. It is what's going to happen, you know.
I mean, it already is to the extent in military use. Like most things, there's something interesting that someone said to me recently. They said, everything that you have now, the military was using 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you see what the military has now, you will be using that in 10 years.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. So the military is using something a little bit like that, where they it's not an implant yet, but it's like an attachment to your goggles which allow you to kind of speak extremely softly, like almost whisper basically into something which then transmits that to like a local radius, but only on this one. It's not frequency, it's not using radio, it's using like a closed circuit system, so you can't ever hack it. And that
Yeah,
kind of thing. So that's the kind of technology that they're talking about.
that's quite cool.
What's the other episode of Black Mirror where, as punishment for something, this woman's ability to see is taken away, or the ability to see this particular person? Isn't it like a restraining order or something? Like they take away this person's ability to see. Is it the
Oh,
domestic abuse case?
is it the one where they're blurred, where they look at them and they're just blurred?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. And
that's
it's like
quite
this
cool.
social credit system. Yeah, that's fucking terrifying, mate. When they just take away your ability to see people and hear people.
Once again, I think I quite like it. Switch
Nah,
people
mate.
off, can't you?
Yeah, but then what if, that's what I'm talking about. If someone had control over that, they could just switch off your ability to see your mother.
Oh, I mean, that's quite horrific. But then it's the difference
That's
between, I
horrible.
think, torture and technology, in it. Like pleasure, do you know what I mean? But then it's one of them things, you've got to take the rough with the smooth. There's always going to be something
Rough with the
terrible.
smooth.
You know what I mean? There's always going to be something terrible that comes from something really good. You know, like the endless argument of you need to weaponize yourselves to defend yourselves against weaponization doesn't make any sense, but good with a bad.
Mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
Would you rather not just blanket ban that kind of technology, which augments reality?
I think I would prefer that, but you can't draw a line between what can and what can't be. Do you know what I mean? Like, at what point is like VR goggles and things like that, are they under the same umbrella? Because they're technically blocking out everything.
Yeah, but that's only ever with that. That's augmenting the reality in front of your eyes, not the reality that affects other people. There is a line there, because
Yeah.
putting on goggles and then having something in your brain which allows you to switch people off is there. Come on, there's a difference there. I'm not sure exactly how to define the specific or even vague details around what is and isn't that, but there's a difference between technology and cybernetics, or at least cybernetics is a branch of technology which is to do with, like,
Yeah, augmented yourself and
implants,
enhancement.
or augmenting yourself, that kind of
Yeah.
enhancing yourself. In a way, I've had this discussion before in philosophy. There are some people who would say that we're already cyborgs because of our phones and because of things like prosthetic legs and that kind of thing. But I don't find that convincing, because I can literally happily live without a phone, and nothing bad will happen to me except
But
that I'll be off.
I think that you're in a very small percentile of people that can quite easily get rid of their phone and never have you'll be no different with it or without it. Do you know what I mean? Like, personally, I think that as great as, you know, mobile phones are such a, it's just a, like, everyone has one now. It's such a thing that when I was little, they were a real, you know, if you've got a phone, you're it sort of thing. Whereas now, if you haven't got a phone, jog on. But, you know, I mean, for the point of, for me right now, it's so nice to be able to contact anyone from here and not have to, like, physically drive to, do you know what I mean? Like, my parents, my mum, or, like, my family, or whatever, like, my mates that still live there. It's nice to be able to message them when I want and not have to, rather than writing a letter or something like that, I suppose. Do you know what I mean? But on the other hand, at what point do you put your phone down? Because the whole point of, you see, like, TikTok, Instagram, everything like that, every video releases a synapse.
Yeah, a dopamine rush.
That's exactly it, yeah. And therefore you keep chasing the happiness. Do you know what I mean?
That's like, I don't know if you remember Vine.
Mm.
Do you remember Vine? Yeah,
yeah, that
I mean,
died
the
a death,
idea
didn't it?
That, well, it did, but the business model was sound, because they figured out that people's attention, they just read the data, figured out that people's attention spans were getting a lot shorter, and then clocked that 6 seconds was about perfect for a dopamine, like, rush, like a little trigger, but also enough time to actually produce something creative. So they clocked that, and then Vine gave birth to Reels, Instagram Reels, TikTok, anything like that.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
it's right. A genius business model.
But I mean, it's one of those things that I wish, on one level, I wish it never existed, because I'm sick to death of looking at my phone all the time, or going, oh, did you see this on, you know, I've watched this video, I've done, and you think, oh, just fuck off. But on the other hand, do you know what I mean? On the other hand, it's something to do that I don't feel is, it's the age old question, am I killing time or is time killing me?
Yeah.
And if I'm sat there watching stupid videos that make fuck all difference to my life, I'm just killing time, and I'm just wasting my time. Like, I'm not doing anything. But then equally, you need times like that where you just sit and do nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think for the older generations, it used to be things like running a bath and just sitting there and doing nothing, or crosswords and things like that. Do you know what I mean?
But, you know, in a way, so the flip side to that, or the other argument, is that actually those things, like sitting, so when you're running a bath, just sitting and being silent, or actually doing a crossword, are healthy for the brain, whereas killing time on Instagram or TikTok, things like that, are not healthy for the brain. because you're remapping the synapses. You know,
Yeah.
you're changing the way that your brain reacts to information in a way that shortens your attention span. I don't know. There's a balance to be struck, though. I find myself spending too much time on things like that. But equally, things like Twitter is a great place to find news out about politics, like what's happening, what's actually happening in the world. Twitter is the best place for that. But it's also an absolute rabbit hole of useless crap. People
Yeah.
just having a moan or finding any excuse to cancel each other.
It's 90% opinion, 10%
Yeah.
fact, isn't it? That's the problem. You see a lot of people that are on Twitter just follow, you know, famous people, and that's it. They don't really
Yeah.
care about. But at what point do you decide that these people are just people as well? They've got the same opinions as we have. Why do
Yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Why are they held in more high regard than our own opinion?
Yeah.
You know. But then the problem is that's influential, is it? It's influencers and things like that. That's the whole point, isn't it? Their opinion means more to us, and then we agree with their opinion without having any facts.
Yeah, without having any critical thinking engagement in it, for sure.
Yeah.
The concept of influencing has been around for a very long time. It's just that the term was coined in relation to online physical figures,
Yeah.
and really, the term as we know it is people who have a huge online presence but no other substantial power base. You don't call the Prime Minister an influencer, do you? Although he has like millions of followers and
Well, he has an
other things, because
unbelievable
he has this,
influential power, doesn't he?
because he has a separate power base. Yeah, he is an influencer, but not in the way that we understand it. Influencers have to have no other power base. So in a way, it's a term of insult that brought, as well as observation, because you're saying this person's only power base is the fact that they have a massive online presence, and beyond that, there's nothing else to say about them.
Next.
Should we do the TV? I'm really excited for this little bit.
Yeah, go on. Tell me your segment.
Because I want to do some sort of introduction to it. You know, so have you ever watched the Ricky Gervais show or ever listened to it? Their like
Obviously,
podcast
yeah.
before. So
yeah.
You know, they did like Monkey News, and he'd always do, "Oh, Monkey News," or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to do something like that, but with TV. So something like, "Been watching that telly again, isn't he?"
There we go. Something like that. Well, you're the best one to come up with something like that.
Jesus. I mean, I don't know.
Something to do with Gogglebox?
Like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking more Keith Lemony. That's more your vibe.
Oosh!
Yeah.
He's been watching a telly!
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. You're a telly, dear.
There we go.
Like that.
That's it, right there.
Even the cat looked to me as if it... Are you all right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're doing okay, champ. Yeah.
So, been watching that telly again, isn't he? This week, I've been watching... I don't know if you've watched this. But it's Paul Hollywood Eats Japan, right? It was a little three-parter. Watched it on Netflix because I don't have real telly. But it was a couple of years ago this come out. A good couple of years ago, I don't really know. So I've got a couple of little snippets that I wrote down. So I've written... Basically, Yo Sushi, but better. That's Japan. That's my what I've taken away from the program. It's like a large Yo Sushi. They were in a fish restaurant there. It hit this guy. So he met up with a couple of different people that live there. And this particular guy, I think he was like Australian, and he'd moved there because he wanted to be a wrestler. Or he was, I think he was a, gosh, what do you call it? Like a stand-in for films and things, you know, like a body double, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, he'd gone to Japan, and he suddenly made it. He was like quite famous as a wrestler, but he dresses as a little girl, which is quite strange. Each to their own. But the guy also, so he dresses in this like schoolgirl uniform, and he's a wrestler, but he's also a like heavy metal singer. So he does this, you know, this death metal stuff. It's quite strange. Anyway, so they went to this restaurant, and you catch your own fish. Like you're sat essentially on a lake, right? But it's not. It's inside a restaurant, but you've got all the like water around you, and you've got a little rod, and you chuck it out to the sides of you, and then you catch a fish, pick it up, give it to the waiter. Then they go and kill it and bring it back to you and show you it, and then they come take it back again, cut it up and eat it like sashimi, like raw fish. But imagine that. You've just caught something. It's like picking a lobster out of the tank, but you've literally caught it. Like, you could spend 20 minutes there.
Okay. That's interesting. That's just something you can just do.
Yeah. It was like people were just... wasn't like a tourist thing. It was just like a normal restaurant.
Oh, it's just...
Right, bizarre. Okay. I've also got... Oh, there was... They had the place. It was the equivalent of Harrods. I don't know what it's called. But... So they're...
Not going to have a go.
In Japan... No, I'm not even going to think about it, let alone try and say it. In Japan, they have this... Their etiquette is like gift giving is a real thing. You know, like when we give gifts, we give like chocolates, flowers, things like that.
Yeah.
But they think that the more you spend on someone, the more you respect them. So this place that's like the equivalent of Harrods, when I say it's the equivalent, it's like 10 times the price, right? They had like little boxes of, I don't even know what they were. They were like gold sushi and things like this. Like, it was just mayhem. Everything in there was mental. But they're like 12 grand. Do you know what I mean? For like a melon. There was a pair of cantaloupes that had been sold there, and they mould them. You know, when they grow them, they put them in like a mould, so they're heart-shaped and things like this. There was a pair of cantaloupes that had been sold for something ridiculous, like £300,000.
Are you taking the piss?
For a couple of bits of fruit. That's down the mental. Market. They're the same thing. Do you know what I mean?
Get a few, go on, yeah. Get a few for that.
Get a few. 300 grand, you buy the fucking shop.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, you buy every cantaloupe that they could possibly source.
Literally.
It's mental.
So, again, along the food lines, this is the only other thing I've got for you on it, really, because, I mean, a lot of it was interesting, but I want people to go and watch these things rather than me explain it all.
Yeah.
So this guy, he went to, like, it was the most famous strawberry place in Japan, right? It's like a little, you know, when you drive past on a motorway, on a dual carriage, or whatever, or on a main road. It was like that. It was just a little shack in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
This guy, he's got like his own polytunnels and things like that, and he's growing these strawberries, right? So he sells like little punnets for like a tenner, which is quite expensive, you know, like single strawberries of medium size, and they're like 30 quid. For a strawberry.
Right. Yeah.
Then he brought this one out and he said, This strawberry, and it was pretty fat, to be fair. It's probably like 3 inches, like it was quite big. 350 quid for one strawberry.
What?
And the guy said, he was trying to ask why it was so expensive, and the guy said, buy it and taste it and you tell me why. And essentially he grows it, it's like the sweetest strawberry, you know, it's a really good quality and the scent, and like he smelled it and he said it smells like fake strawberry, it's that strong. What interested me was, I mean, going along again the food thing, is that he said they'd suggested that a lot of TV was surrounded by food, like it was a lot of, you know, like with ours, a lot of this sort of, I don't know, like celebrities and, you know, reality TV and things like that. So theirs is all like, not so much cookery programs, but things like, you know, they have these fucking eating competitions and they're televised and they're really like celebrated as things, you know. There was one where they have a like a ramen eating competition, right? And old Paul Hollywood tried it and he managed something like 16 bowls. And these two twins, they essentially film themselves eating large quantities of things.
Yeah, mukbangs. Yeah.
They did something like 400 bowls each. Like, it's chaos, isn't it?
You're joking.
In something like 10 minutes.
Whereas
he managed like 8 and then just stopped. He said, I'm so full, I don't know how they do it. And they were like stick figures. They were so thin. Anyway, so my point is, the Japanese, they celebrate food. And he was saying that, so Tokyo is the... they have the most Michelin stars in the world.
Really?
Yeah, and they're actually some of the cheapest restaurants as well. So he was saying that what they do is they do everything to the highest possible standard. Do you know what I mean? They don't just open a restaurant and go, we'll just cook like mediocre, you know. But they have these, so like there was one restaurant that was just tempura, right? It was just like tempura, like tempura prawns, things like that. It was tempura based. But they specialize in such a niche thing. So that restaurant just does tempura And the chef, you know, he's like the best. He was like a three Michelin star guy. Like, he's incredible. But so people go to certain, but it's like us going to like Five Guys, isn't it, for like a burger or something like that. But theirs is so specific, like
the one specific dish.
But so the reason they have so many Michelin stars there is because the chefs are trained so specifically on one thing. There was one guy that he's got like two Michelin stars in this like little noodle restaurant, and he's got like 12 seats in the restaurant, right? And he's got a little sign on the door that says, you can only have one bowl per customer because there's a queue of people at all times. Like, you can't sit there and have four or five courses of it. And he said, he gets up at like six, he'll start the broth and it'll be cooking, boiling for like 12 hours before, or 10 hours, I think it was, before it's then ready to be served. So he's only got a finite amount of it anyway, which again, that's what I mean. It's so niche that you'll go in there just for a bowl of ramen.
Yeah.
You haven't got an extensive menu. It's just that, you know, it was quite interesting to me, I think. But anyway, so that's what I take away from that series.
Well, I like that, mate. I'll give that a watch. Say it again. Paul Hollywood goes to Japan.
Yeah, Paul Hollywood eats Japan.
Recommendation for the week, people. Go and watch that.
Have a little watch. Why not give us a tweet? We're @2spoons_coffee.